He is the 147. Link up with the divine deity who is able to give the initiation that puts the Kila in true contact with God. The Magatma is not a citizen of any country, although he will physically live in one and obey its laws. But he is a citizen of the whole universe of God and is known as a man of God. He is the universal man who is here to give the Kila the right way to God and nothing else. When anyone appeals to him for material help, it depends on whether or not he believes it is best to give it. If he believes that it is needed to help those who appeal, then it will be done. But if it is a hindrance to their karma and their spiritual enfoldment, it shall not be done. He who hates the Magatma will hate God, and he who loves the Magatma will love God. This is what is known as the cell of self-cognition, for man of himself can do nothing. It depends mainly upon God working through the great instrument of itself, the Magatma, whose several bodies act as channels for the Vardhan power on every plane throughout the universes of God. However, the key to the survival of Vardhanka in this world is the Magatma working with the Madhis, the initiates of the fifth circle, who are his chief channels of the Vardhan power. It also means that the Vardhan satsang is equally important to the survival of Vardhan in this world, and upon every plane of the spiritual universe. The Magatma not only works in this world as a true channel for God, but upon every plane of the spiritual worlds. The Madhis, therefore, are able to work only in this world and in the first five planes as distributors of the Vardhan power. But they are only qualified to do this by the love of the Magatma, who allows each to be a channel for himself and the power that flows through him. There is no other way to be linked up to God except through this method. Therefore, Vardhan and its message are distributed through the Magatma to each of the Madhis for every plane in the lower worlds, the physical, astral, causal and mental. Each Madhis depends upon the Magatma for this, and acts as a channel only because he allows it. Also, there must be Vardhan satsangs not only in this world but upon each of the lower, 148, planes, for each acts as a collective channel for the distribution of Vardhan power. So long as the Vardhan controls the Vardhan satsangs, it is in the position to give life to the individual and the satsang, respectively. This is the result of its longevity in this world, for it cannot be destroyed. Defeat or the dropping out of a Vardhan satsang does not dissolve it or even make an impression. The heartbeat of Vardhan is faith in the Hare and the Magatma, whether the Kila belongs to a Vardhan satsang or performs upon his own. While the believers in orthodox religions put their faith unwittingly in Kalnaranjan, this type of faith is only an opinion, fixed in the minds of men. When all the relatives and absolutes of any Kal-directed group are brushed aside, the individual finds himself alone. This is not true of those Chelas who follow the Vardhan, for the Vardhanist knows that the presence of the living Vardhan master is always with him. He is never alone. Moralistic power is the only force by which Kalnaranjan can operate. The Kal has no other force in this world than what we call the forces of nature. But it works best in man because of the consciousness of human nature. Man lives by this moralistic power which builds churches, civilizations, and societies. He makes laws and enforces laws by it. The Vardhan power is above the dichotomy of good and evil, for it is only the power of the true nature of the Hare. It cannot be otherwise. It leads soul back to heaven. It has no other purpose. The true purpose of the Kal, however, is to hold soul within the lower worlds, torment it, bring hardships and build its life through centuries of incarnations in the depths of negativism. Within this true physical realm, Kalnaranjan works through the human consciousness. The Kal force performs best in the political and religious arenas, for here it is working through the absolute rule of a single body of consciousness, or that of a single individual. No matter how the system of representation or delegation of the orthodox religious system is arranged, there is necessarily an alienation of the liberty and freedom of 149 individual souls. All religions use bodies, minds and souls. For without exception, the ways they seek for power are varieties of absolutism. This is true especially of the worldly religions. These systems fail to recognize that, though man is a social being and seeks equality, he also loves independence and freedom. Property, in fact, springs from man's desire to free himself from the slavery of tribal or state-owned beingness, the primitive form of society. But property, in its turn, goes to the other extreme. It violates equality and supports the acquisition of power by the privileged minority who are generally the religious systems of the earth and planet worlds. Each Gila in Vardanka must listen to the voice of the living Vardan master, for he is the speaker of the word of the Hari. Each Vardanist will eventually become an initiate of the fifth circle, plane. He is then a citizen of the fifth world and must perform all his living acts within his new universe. Thus the fifth dimension is where he begins to live truly in the spiritual light and word. It is by no mishap that he has reached this state of spiritual unfoldment. He then becomes the agent of the Mahagatma, and he has the ability to work in silence, but at the same time openly, as co-worker with the Mahagatma. But he himself always has to confront the Kal power, for it will assault him again and again, each time trying to create doubt, trying to break through to create schisms and bring about unhappiness with the spiritual works of Vardhan. The works of Vardhanka are revolutionary and eternal. The Vardhan changes all things once it is allowed to enter into the consciousness of one individual who is earning his daily living. No matter what the situation may be or what that individual does, regardless of his position on the social and economic scale of society, he has become a channel for the Vardhan to change the environment within his own world. The living Vardhan master uses him as a sub-channel to pass the power of the Vardhan into the world and revitalize it, to make important spiritual changes which will reflect in the social, political and economic stature of man. 150. Therefore, the Chelas of Vardhan must not be restless, or desirous of changes, but must serve the living Vardhan master wherever he is and wherever it is possible here and now. He must act as a channel for the Vardhan where it can best be done, at his job, in his home, in his social environment. He is always working in silence, always open to let the Vardhan change all his life around him. By being watchful and aware of this, he can see what changes are made. When the Kila eventually becomes a Madhis, an initiate of the fifth circle, he can initiate in the name of the Vardhan master. This means that every Madhis must train each Vardhan Kila whom he has in his Vardhan satsang or within his designated arena. He must go out among the uninitiated and see that they are in some manner or other led to the living Vardhan master. It is the duty of the Madhis to bring more souls into Vardhan to be lifted into the upper regions of pure spirit before the Holocaust strikes the worlds of the Kal. The end of this era, the Kali Yuga, the Iron Age, when all is in darkness and ignorance, will come in a few thousand years. The Mahagatma appears again in this world to gather up souls to return to the true heavenly home. Wherever he goes and whatever he does, the great Vardhan power clears the way like the whirling winds of a storm. It breaks up the old orders and re-establishes the new within this world. Everywhere the Vardhan destroys systems established by the Kal forces and injects the spirituality of soul into the social order and spiritual life of man. So it is proclaimed that the path of Vardhan must be taken. A man's lust for possessions, his mad, desperate scramble for material things has become such that the spiritual work of Vardhan granted by the Hari is the only way, otherwise this world is becoming a veritable desert. Thus the attack on the Kal power continues in the quiet quest for salvation. It appears that man has been cursed by the Hari because of the standards of living in this world. While man uses up the resources of nature at an alarming rate, it is only the natural causes made possible by the speeding up of race karma in the last yuga before the destruction of this universe. 151. It is the last of the yugas, when all men and his fellow creatures will be destroyed in their respective embodiments, and each soul lifted into heaven to sleep until the reformation of the lower worlds. Those souls who have taken up the path of Vardhan, under the Mahagatma, shall be liberated from this destruction and sleep, and become co-workers with him. However, in the lower worlds men rule by politics, and thereby with orthodox religions. Hence, religions become a system of socio-economics to control man's mind and body. Most world religions have a foundation in the economic systems of their times. Every social order since the start of man in this world has had a religion for its own followers. It has promised the glories when one dies. Suffer on earth and get the reward after death. This is the creed for keeping an exploited society quiet. It has formed consumer societies throughout history which have created wars and left man in poverty. It has destroyed the natural resources of man and formed a spiritual desert on earth. As long as this condition exists, man cannot find himself and, therefore, suffers in spirit. He is ignorant and does not know what has happened to him. He is without a spiritual guide, desperate, seeking and desiring to meet the Savior who can halt the wars, bring back the natural resources, and give him comfort in body, mind and spirit. He has not yet learned that the living Vardhan Master awaits his decision to turn to the spiritual path of Vardhan and find freedom for himself. All this brings man to the point of considering himself able to make judgments and form decisions. He is not able to do this until he has reached the state of the Madhis and, therefore, he even rebels at the word which is applied to other men designating, Sir. This comes from a variation of the title, Sire, which is taken off that which is known as, Sri. It reflects the early relationship between the spiritual ones who have attained the kingdom of God and those who are still seeking. The efforts of the Margatma are directed against this sort of relationship, against all authority of one man over another. For it is said in Vardhanka that whosoever puts his hand over another to govern him is an usurper and a tyrant. The Vardhan declares him an enemy. The 152. Living Vardhan Master wants no barriers between himself and the Chelas of Vardhanka. The Vardhan is always the new old religion, fitted for the times in which it exists. The human race always needs Vardhan, for Vardhan is life itself. This means that it is the religion of the people because it is positive in its effect, but the world changes with each generation and man always changes. There is always the need for Vardhan because man becomes negative and because the need for Vardhan is that it fits any and all generations. The proof that the religions of the past are no longer valid is to be seen in the performance of the codes of the churches and their priests. Man pays lip service to his churches, synagogues, temples and mosques, but the life he leads is without ethics. The Vardhankila does not seek utopia, which is the perfect society. For all things perfect have ceased to grow. Hence the concept of utopia, or perfection, is imperfect. This is the mistake made by those who are ruled by Gyanaranjan. They think that once their promised land has been achieved all progress will stop, that their millennium will have been reached. Dhanare knows no halting. The path of Vardhan is forever. The powers that Dhanare may delegate to its channel, the Margatma, are wondrous. The living Vardhan Master has powers because of the goodness and mercy of the Hari which cannot be comprehended by any average man. He may build and he may destroy, but he always maintains an equal balance within the universes where he lives in his many bodies. Man desires to be entertained instead of seeking out the message of Vardhan. He is conditioned by the Kal power to seek amusement instead. If the wrath of the Margatma should be incurred, he could speak the word that would bring about the destruction of man's source of amusements, or even man himself. Although it is seldom that this could occur, man in his ignorance often attempts to play with the fire of the Margatma's wrath. This is the seeking of self-destruction in ignorance. Man will normally seek God when his struggle for survival, 153, on earth is greater. If the economy of man is low, his struggle is greatest, for he believes that his survival is linked with his materialistic life. It is then when his prayers for help are greatest but in vain. He is not asking for the true survival of soul, but only the survival of his materialistic universe. But when a civilization has an economy of abundance, man's mind turns away from the spiritual requests of survival to publicly provide entertainment. The average man is not capable of programming. He cannot think up tasks to occupy himself with spiritually, for he has never had to. He has evolved under conditions when the time and energy he had available were programmed for him. What time there was for spiritual things was very seldom and purely traditional aspects provided by the church. If a festival, it was a great relief and entertainment. He never got a chance to become bored with them. He played the games laid down by his church or religion, but often he had to play them too seldom, a condition which has occupied most of his time since the beginning of the history of the human species. If the survival of man in the physical universe is true, then he must find time for creative activity in spiritual things. Until this comes about within a group with time to do something in a spiritual nature besides subsist in the materialistic worlds, there is little opportunity for the spiritual sensitivity of man to develop. But time spent in contemplation does not automatically produce spiritual results. Therefore, it is found that in all the civilizations of man in this world, he was formed for himself a predetermined activity, especially for the non-creative, average man. This is what happens to an affluent society, a welfare state, if the leaders do not establish a spiritual or religious period for the common man. Man does not like to read. It requires that he contribute a great deal of mental activity. He has visualized the actions from the words, imagines the voice tones, the facial expressions. He is not up to such creative labor. What destroys every social order is the growth of an immense leisure class. It no longer becomes a subsistence. 154. Culture. Other nations must support it. When the populace is offered free food and shelter, the spiritual growth of the nation goes down. Because of this leisure, it gives no incentive for self-programming activities. It usually goes into eclipse as a nation with self-destructive tendencies. Man always wants something to do, to have some drink it he can play with to take up his leisure time. If he has not the creative abilities to learn to use or travel, he must come to rely on a government that will see that his leisure time is channeled in the direction to which he is a slave and dependent. The Vardhan, therefore, is what he needs. It is all. Each thing he comes to learn is the Vardhan. The bird singing in the tree is Vardhan. It is transcending and descending all in the same motion. As it descends, it also transcends and vice versa. Truth is for those who know, but who come to know and never question. They realize that questions are never satisfying and never answered. He who loves me will love me for what I am. He who hates me shall hate me for what I am not. Those who question all the works of Vardhan shall never know truth, and shall always be bothered with questions. None shall ever know truth. It is not possible to have truth and at the same time ask questions about it, says the Hari. Thus it is that the Vardhan satsang is really the key to the spiritual works of Vardhanka. So long as the satsangs have sufficient chelas who are open as channels for the Vardhan to reach the non-Vardhanists within their communities, nations and on all levels of consciousness, then will the Vardhan survive. Therefore, they become absolutely important to the collective body of the chelas, as each forms an enormous channel which can control the spiritual affairs of this world and the world beyond. As a collective body, it brings harmony, peace and happiness to the individual, and to all entities within the universes of God. This is the real secret of the works of Vardhan, and as long as the Vardhan satsangs hold their related positions, none can be resolved by the Kalpower but only by the Margatma. 155. Defeat of the power of the Vardhan satsangs will never take place, for any attempt to do so does not make the slightest impression on the satsang and the kila concerned. The light and sound of Vardhan, therefore, uses the Margatma as the major channel for its work in the worlds of God. It is by the Margatma's very act that the kila may be established in the Vardhan satsangs or to act alone as the channels through which he works in this world. Man is taught to want certain things in this materialistic world. Now he must reverse himself, for since he has solved the problem of the production of abundance, he must take stock and work out his path to his destiny, which is Vardhanka. The overwhelming majority of mankind is working either on methods of destruction, or the creation of new products which people do not actually need or want. Instead, they should be working on spiritual unfoldment, the curing of man's ills, delving into the secrets of life, plumbing the ocean's depths, reaching out to the world of God through chusa travel. The words of the Margatma alone can change the world, completely and irrevocably. He is the only being who has developed his spiritual perception beyond any point known in the history of the human race. Generally, he contacts those who are Vardhan chelas, but there are many times when he makes communications outside his own followers with whole groups of people or individuals. So often he uses a Vardhan-kila as a channel to pass on a thought to a large body of persons within certain distances. He is always in contact with every Vardhan satsang or a collective body of souls, as well as with every Vardhan-kila on a personal and individual basis. However, if he so desires, the living Vardhan master can make spiritual contact with the whole species of mankind and all beings in any country at any time, regardless of language barriers. He can make contact with any entity on any plane regardless of the plane. He keeps the inhabitants on every plane throughout the universe intact and working in a mutually common cause, whether or not it has the appearance of Vardhan to the outer senses. Yet the Vardhan is the underlying factor, the essence of life, which only the 156 Madhis can recognize in all languages, religions and philosophies everywhere. All life, therefore, flows out of the Vardhan, and all religions, philosophies and sacred writings, are based upon the Vardhan and its original source, called the Sharat Gaihari. Races and persons at different levels of consciousness will divide the Vardhan into various parts because of their lower states of thought and spiritual development. Few have the capacity of consciousness to accept the Vardhan. This is the reason why many fail to understand and grasp its meaning. Few can understand and know what the Vardhan may do. It is so vast, so magnificent in its scope. The select few who come to it are actually the fortunate of all the followers of the spiritual paths. These souls are fortunate because they have come to the apex of their training in the lower worlds and have passed the tests established by the Hare and administered by Gyanaranjan. They are indeed fortunate, for now after long centuries of spiritual training and incarnations they have reached their last life on earth, and have come under the guidance of the Mahatma. He takes them under his wing in loving care and is, thereafter, with them wherever they may be, whether it is on this plane or any of those in the heavenly worlds. He always stays with those whom he has given the initiation into the Vardhan, whether he has left this physical body or not. It is generally known that he will stay with his own chelas, those he has initiated on earth or the spiritual worlds, whether he has passed on from this life or not. Man will generally go insane if he cannot label everything. He simply must have an explanation for all things. The living Vardhan master must come forth from out of the secrecy of his existence here whenever man needs to be pulled out of the dark ages. 3/4 of the human race spends its time wandering about aimlessly. Human character is determined by environment rather than heredity. Human faults are imparted by bad training and karma. The vices of the young spring not from the cow. They are derived from the defects of spiritual training in this life. 157. Mystery is not a satisfactory term for the experience of God. It is an intimation of something more profoundly significant, often recognized in a flash. But an understanding of its significance does not always follow the appearance of such an experience in one's life. The curtain, unnoticed, is sometimes moved aside, and other curtains also, so that soul can see its own self and thus reveal the mystery of whatever it may be called. Then the curtain drops in place and at least a measure of oblivion descends. It has had thousands of names, but each of them an apt. This reality has sometimes been called the good, beautiful and true, to name a few. Philosophers term it the absolute or ultimate reality. Western mystics say it is the Godhead, and in general know it as God. It is Brahma and Paramatma to the Hindus, the beloved of the Sufis, the Tao or way of the Chinese mystics. The Buddhists say it is Nirvana. But none are the true reality of the Hare. This is the ultimate of all the realities. It is the ultimate so far above all things that few ever achieve it. There is no name for this true reality, for name set boundaries. Therefore, all that are known by name are within the world of the Kal. Those which are listed here, with the exception of the Hare, are only fourth plane phenomenon. If it can be labeled, it is still within the world of the mind, the fourth plane, which is the final region still under the influence of Gyanaranjan. This is why the Hare takes its name as the ocean of love and mercy. The world of the unknown itself. Mystics and poets are generally introverts, and do not have good relations with the outer worlds. They are supremely fortunate in that visions of reality sometimes come to them unsought. But they are even more fortunate if they are able to induce these visions. The extroverts are not so fortunate, for generally when they glimpse this reality of God, they are so shocked into fears for their sanity that they will back away without any further contact. They are uncomfortable in the presence of anyone who has had such experiences and can handle them. 158. This is rightly so, but they will label it as a mental aberration or go to see their physician. When one is concerned with the pure element of the divine reality, he finds no words to speak of it, for it cannot be set apart from that with which it is inseparably united. To say it is material in nature is to label it, as said before, by some name and to play with words. Man's consciousness cannot be easily divested of symbols. However, the mystics use all sorts of terms such as divine bliss, infinite love, and others. But the labels are merely those of the mind trying to grasp at what is unknown to it. This has been done for centuries and is not limited to any faith, religion, person, creed or cult. It is found in many parts of the world from the beginning of time to the present, to have made itself visible to some but not to others. It never plays favorites, but it always reveals some portion of itself to those who will be persistent and obey the instructions laid down by the living Varden Master. So many times it's concern is with the economics and politics of nations in which it's mystics are inhabitants, because this usually turns out to be a phenomenon of the mental plane. The Vardenist who reaches the stages beyond the level of phenomenon becomes intoxicated with visions of the true reality, and he no longer cares for conventional forms. He grows beyond propriety, religion, philosophy, economics, and other materialistic forms which are suffocating to him. If the cynic believes the esoteric experiences of divine reality are illusions, he must suffer for his ignorance. No Vardenist who has had intense or prolonged experiences doubts the validity of them. But what is brought forth from the initiated is difficult to communicate to those who are the uninitiated. Life as it is in the materialistic worlds sadly rejects the experiences of the Vardenist, and the validity of the living Varden Master. Therefore, we find that all Vardenists, regardless of their spiritual status and nationality, are still disciples of Vardenka. Whether the Kila is living on the physical plane or the Atmalok, the soul plane, he never feels he is in a new world, or state. He is still under the general authority, 159, of the Varden, and the individual laws of the separate planes are to be obeyed and homage paid to their various rulers and spiritual governors. He does not feel either a citizen or an alien like a modern traveler who goes through each country as a tourist or for business. The entities of each plane look upon existence there as sort of a contract of service. This is the way it should be, for whether they consciously realize it or not, all are actually the children of the Varden kingdom. In this way it makes no difference what religion or path soul may adapt for himself. He is a full citizen of the kingdom of Varden. All souls belong to it whether they desire it to be so or not. The longer they resist this and the longer that anyone withstands the Varden, the longer they continue existence on the Awagawan, the wheel of the 84. All souls, regardless of their faith, creed, religion, philosophy, cult or sect, since the beginning of time, have had the consolation that they are full citizens of the kingdom of Varden. Servitude on earth in the human form, or in any of the psychic planes, is a small price to pay if it purchases a ticket to the true kingdom of God, which is that of Vardenka. Therefore, the Vardenist finds there is only one Margatma within each lifetime of every soul spent within the universe. All other Varden masters in the order of the Bsharan, the Brotherhood of Varden Masters, are known as the Maharaj. Every Maharaj is subordinate to the living Varden Master, no matter whom he might be, for the Margatma holds the Varden Rod of Power. It is given to him on the 22nd day of October. This date is considered the full moon of the celestial equinox. The Margatma holds this rod of power until he is translated into an esoteric position within the order of the Bsharan somewhere within the universes as a spiritual worker of greater importance. Then he, too, becomes subordinate to the next Margatma, or living Varden Master. He, too, is a member of this hierarchy where before he was the head of it and responsible directly to the Hari. The Maharajs are known as the Silent Ones, for they have charge of all the universes and the affairs on each, respectively. 160. All souls within all universes are within their orbit of affairs.